some reason I always get kind of attracted to come over to this side. It's just like so much energy in the youth, you know what I mean? I just love that. I love to get a little bit of marination in that, if you know what I mean. Yeah, come on, man. Andrew, your smile is infectious. It's like contagious. Yeah, come on. I love it. I love it. It's just a great day to worship corporately. Come together. You know, we each have our own little flavor and experience with the Lord. When we come together, it just all comes into this. This is a great, great aroma to the Lord. Just love that. Love that. Yeah. Would you stand with me, and we'll just go ahead and get started. And I'm sure there'll be others coming in as we get rolling here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you today, the King of Kings, Creator of the universe. Thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. Amen and amen.
Thank you.
try to paint this picture for you and where he's been taking me during worship here for offering. And so while I was worshiping, and I hadn't talked about Amity about this, but he was showing me Amity. I believe she's called to be a warrior. And he's showing me her with a quiver with all these arrows sticking up. And it's like the Lord was showing me, anyone that walks through the door and sees that, it's like, am I for her or against her? If I'm against her, I'm not staying here because she looks really dangerous to me. But if she's for me, hallelujah, right? So while I was seeing that, the Lord started to show me this angel behind her. And the angel looked like an eagle. And try to grasp this with me. His head barely, he was kind of hunched over because his head couldn't get under the ceiling very well. And his wings were out to each side, all the way to the walls. And he was like, kind of like, man, it's crowded in here. But this is where she's at, and I'm with her. I've got her back. And so once I got that kind of settled into my head, he immediately took me to Mount McKinley. Highest mountain on the continent. The great one. There's so much you could preach on that mountain. I'm not going to go there. But he showed me from a distance, I saw this eagle flying around. And as big as I just painted this picture, the eagle looked kind of small next to that mountain. But then I started looking closer and I saw other eagles. Every one of us. I saw every one of us as eagles flying around that mountain. And it was, as nice as that was, it's like I heard a couple of them saying, we need to have a rest, Lord. We can't just fly forever here. And I just saw that, as I said that, I saw this big grin on his face. He says, I've got a place of rest for you. I've set a place special for you next to my mountain. It's an actual physical place. Called the Don Sheldon Mountain House. It's I've never been there. I'd like to go someday. I believe there's a hotel there even. And up near the Ruth Glacier, Ruth Amphitheater, I believe. And it's like I could see all these eagles parked there, so to speak, taking a break with and next to the mighty one, the great one. And I just feel like the Lord's got something in that for us today. I mean, some of us may feel like we've been slogging through the mud lately, or maybe we kind of feel like we're stuck in this valley that we don't want to be in. He doesn't see you that way at all. He's calling you to a higher place, soaring on the heights around the mighty one, around him, with him. Like the eagles.
Complete unless you can see the mountain. And oftentimes, things it is, it's obscured by clouds. things in our lives, and He wants us to see ourselves as He sees us and as that eagle. And we're not striving, we're not pushing, you know, just like the scripture that Ben, you know, we are resting in the shadow of His wings. And yes, it is a big mountain, but there is no worry, there's no strife. Rest in the shadow of His wings. Let Him soar with you. And also realize there's lots of other eagles around there. You're not standing alone. You're not standing alone. You have Him, and you have the support of many other eagles. And mountain, come on. We got you. We got you.
Amen and amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
smallest of all seeds that becomes the largest of plants and grows into a tree where birds can come and find shelter. And that was the first thing. So I really feel like there's a lot of heaviness in the room that happened for a couple Sundays, and I just want to say that feeling is, if you're feeling burdened, it's not because God's pushing down on you, because you're, like, the enemy is winning. I mean, the enemy is scared and trying to make you feel that, you know. And so God is bigger, and you guys need to hear that. He's bigger, and he's somewhere where you can find peace, even when you're feeling like there's a lot of weight on your shoulder. So I don't know who needs to hear that, but...
begun, right? So we welcome you. I have a couple of announcements, and then I'll pass it on to Megan and then John and Tanya. So my announcements are community related, and we love our community. We want to serve our community, and we are called to be a salt and a light to our community. So outside these walls is where it's happening. And one of the things is next Friday, this coming Friday, 22nd, the Heart to Heart Pregnancy Resource Center is asking anyone who is able to come spend a little bit of time or a lot of time, so between 3 and 7 p.m. on Friday, anyone that could go serve there, they are wanting to flip over their stock, and it can be very overwhelming for just one or two people, so it's fun when there's just a group of us there meeting with other people in the community, and we're talking and laughing and getting stuff done. So if you're available Friday, anytime, 3 to 7, stop in. It is in Eagle River, the strip mall kind of by Subway and Taco Bell, right in that area, Heart to Heart Pregnancy Resource Center. The other community event that we love doing every year is the Thanksgiving Blessing, and we are the Corn Church. Represent! So, we love to bring in the cans, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be Libby. Just canned corn, whatever you're able to pick up at the store will be a blessing. 350 cans is what they're asking for the actual Thanksgiving blessing. We love to do above and beyond because that's how our Lord is. And all above and beyond goes to help stock the local food pantry. So be generous there and get those cans in. Megan?
How many of you know that the enemy hates creativity? Because he can't create anything. So he literally hates creativity. And fear tries to kill creativity, which is why God is raising up creatives. So in this time, it's like the perfect time. So I'm super excited. I wanted to make an announcement as part of our MAP program, which we have several artists that are signed up. Our first workshop will be October 29th and 30th. And as part of this program, what we are asking is if you are an established business or an individual that would like to sow into these artists and artisans and craftsmen that are starting a kingdom business, we are wanting to pair individuals or businesses with our artists and artisans as a partnership and to sow into what they're doing. So we are looking for scholarships in the amount of $300. It's roughly 25% of the cost of the program, which can be really daunting when you're an artist and you don't yet have a market for your product. If you can't give that much but you want to give something, you want to be paired with an artist and you want to support them for accountability and encouragement, get a hold of me. You can just email me at info@blessingfineart.com. Please put MAP scholarship in the subject line, and we will just see what comes in and pair everybody up. Michael and I have two different businesses, and we are going to be sponsoring two different artists as well. So thank you. Who's next?
Hi, we are John and Tanya Butchkowski. Hey, And there's some new faces here that I don't recognize. We actually are members here. We just haven't been here since the whole shutdown started. So we are happy to be back. And and we're happy to be promoting Operation Christmas Child again. And we have a video to show.
This is for a boy between 9 and 11. I'm in a place called Katakush, just outside of Mosul. This is a church that was completely destroyed by ISIS. As we were coming through, one of our team discovered one of the Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes. I don't know who gave it, who sent it, but it touched the life of a child at one point. And of course, we ask people when they pack a box to always pray. You never know where that box will go.
Where are the lost? Where are the hardest to get to people groups? Where has the gospel of Jesus not been preached and proclaimed? In Acts 13:47, for so the Lord has commanded, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.
We live in a broken world, an evil world. Yes, Jesus gave us orders. He said, go into the world and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have a job to do.
When we talk about going to the ends of the earth, we're talking about shoebox gifts that are taking the gospel to the hardest to reach areas of the world.
If you want to bring hope to a broken society, it's the gospel. And Operation Christmas Child is not about passing out toys. It's about the gospel. Each kid, when they receive that box, they're going to hear the presentation of the gospel clearly. They make a decision for Christ, and then they're trained and equipped to go out and share the faith with others. And many times in areas where it's an unreached people group, the Bible tells us the time is now.
We're in the South Pacific. I want to reach these islands for Christ. These are poor areas. People don't have any hope. People don't come here. There's no tourists here. But we're going to be here.
I'm right outside of Mazatlan, Mexico, about a six-hour drive up in the mountains with Operation Christmas Child. This is where people that are brave are taking Operation Christmas Child to the ends of the earth.
We need boxes that are packed by families, by churches, and groups, but we also need boxes that are packed online. When you build a shoebox online, these are the boxes that give us access into hard-to-reach places of the world.
We go at great lengths, great effort, to take these boxes to children in the most remote parts of the world. It's an incredible journey.
You know, the mission of Operation Christmas Child never changes. Children are coming to Jesus. Children are coming to faith. Children are being discipled. And children are taking the gospel to the ends of the earth.
We have a supply of shoe boxes, so anybody who needs one or three or five, we have them, 10, and we can probably get more if we need it. But any shoebox size box will work. There are a lot of ways to contribute to this ministry besides packing a shoebox. Like they said, you can pack a shoebox online, so they have things that you can choose from, and I think it's a flat fee of $25 per box. And that includes the whatever shipping. And then if you just want to make a donation, you can do that too, and we can tell you how to do that. And if you just want to donate some extra packages of crayons that you have or something like that, they will take just odd random gifts. Yes, the Collection Sunday is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, November 21st.
And
yes, you can bring the boxes or toys any time between now and then, really. We'll take them and safekeep them. And we're set up right out by the water fountain.
Okay. So really quick, the Operation Christmas Child, I want to encourage you all to get involved in one way or another, including teenagers. Don't feel like, oh, it's for my parents to do. I want to see you guys do that as well. But we will, when the deadline is the 21st, we will actually bring everything that we have down here, and we will pray over it together corporately before it takes off. So you should pray as you're packing them, but also know that we will pray corporately. I think this is important, and just wants you to get behind it. So, amen? All right, we have a baptism, and we're going to throw Hudson in the water. So come on down, Hudson. Here's what I want to do. I purposely had our kids stay in here until after this, because I want you guys to participate in this as well. I'm going to have everybody stand up. You don't have to come down here, but I would invite you, if you want to come down, you can come down. Baptism, we know, is an outward display of an inward work. And so Hudson is just taking his next step of commitment, his next step of obedience to what God is calling him to be and do in his life. And so I want to encourage you, if you've never been baptized, or maybe you have been baptized. Maybe you were baptized as a kid, or maybe you were baptized and didn't know what it was or why you were doing it. I would encourage you to come and talk with me, or find one of the leadership here and talk with them, or even just someone next to you and be like, hey, can you help me figure this stuff out? And so today, I feel honored to have Luke is going to baptize his son. And, you know, it doesn't have to be the pastor or a pastor who is doing this. And so I think this is awesome. I got to baptize my kids. So, yeah. So I'm going to pray and give this just a minute or two here. If anybody has a word you would like to speak over Hudson, I want to give you that opportunity to do so. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this amazing young man. Lord, thank you that the call of God on his life is evident. Lord, and thank you that he's taking these steps of obedience. Thank you that you've made him a bold and courageous, fiery little warrior. And Father, we pray that as he comes out of the waters of baptism, Lord, that he would come out in strength, in power, full of your spirit, Lord. Thank you that you are getting the honor and the glory in this time. And Lord, I just pray that you would speak to us things that you desire to share over Hudson. And we wait in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You don't have to. Okay. No, you're good. I want to say this over Hudson. I think it would be really easy to not understand the way God created Hudson, only because he can be loud, he can be wild, he can be, and so he honestly is a bit like I probably was at his age, and people didn't know what to do with me, so they tried to quench what was happening in me and try to form me to be what someone else thought I should be. And so, Hudson, I want to encourage you to be who God has created you to be, to let him formulate and form who he's called you to be and do what he tells you to do. And as parents, I just commission you to fan that fire into flame, to never quench what God is doing, to never be in a place of misunderstanding, but always being able to see the bigger picture of what's happening instead of allowing it to frustrate or not understand. So,
hey, Hudson, I'm over here. I just see you as a hunter. You're going to be a great hunter. And when Zach made the announcement about, or actually I think it was Steve, about doing a treasure hunt, you were the first one to be like, yeah. And God's going to, he's already put in you to find treasure. And that treasure is actually in other people. And you're going to be a hunter of that treasure. I see you like an Indiana Jones for God. You're going to find that hidden treasure, and it's of great value. So be that person, like Zach was saying. Be that person who God's created you to be. Someone who's adventurous and that you're willing to explore. And just, I know you come up to me a couple times and say, look at this knife I have, look at this matches I have, look at all this stuff. And that excitement that you bring it to other people, and it's like, that's great. But you want, God's going to bring that out more in you in the things of him.
I was just seeing, because your name is Hudson, and the Lord has shown me, you know, like a Hudson, the Hudson River. But you're a river that flows. Woo! And when it comes through, it brings great impact. You know, rivers can change courses, right? And I see you that way. I see you as this really powerful river. And it's what's inside of you that God's put inside you that's going to bring lots of change to everywhere you go.
Remember when we were up the Connect trying to make fires with sticks? Sometimes we didn't do very good though, right? But like, you love making fires, right? So he reminded me, he wanted to tell you that you're not going to turn up fires. Well, you'll turn up fires for real. You're going to be really good at that too. But you're going to be turning up fires in people, kind of like he was saying. So it's awesome.
So Hudson, it was actually Asher who told me you were getting baptized. So I already had like a word for you. It was like, I saw you in this, it was like a bright red car with like fire decals on the back of it. And you were like racing, and it was kind of like a battle thing, I don't know. But and you were like kind of the leader, and you were like ready to go into this. You had like no doubt that you were going to win, and that because you knew that you had God and like his power behind you, and that you were just ready to go into his battle full hearted.
Hudson, I just really heard the word fearless, right? And like, I already know, yeah, there's a lot of fearlessness in you, right? But this isn't just like the fearlessness to brave mom's wrath or something, right? No, this is a fearlessness as you step into this new time of your relationship with Jesus. There's a fear that comes into that, right? There's a lot of stuff as we walk through our relationship with Jesus. It's a lot and it's scary, but that God is in you even for that. Okay, fearlessness, not just in climbing trees and building fires and hunting and all these awesome things, but a fearlessness to look Jesus in the eyes and look yourself in the eyes as you follow him. Okay? Fearlessness.
So Hudson, I don't know what the symbolizing of you being in cartoon form, but I've seen you in cartoon form all armored up. But instead of a weapon, a material weapon, you were holding the word of God. And I seen that coming from your mouth was the word. And so that's my word for you.
I've seen this in you for a long time. It's like when I think about you and pray about you, and I do that, it's like I see you as a commander on, it's like, I'm reluctant to say battlefield, but I'll use that military term, although I believe it's more just in life. It's like you're a commander who can see what's going on the battlefield, so to speak, and you can say, okay, yeah, you need to go do this because you can do that. And oh, I see this thing here, and I think you need to go deal with that. It's like you're called to see the needs and the people who are called to fill those needs. And it's like you're just this awesome, I don't know if you know the word delegation or not. Your dad can help you with that later. It's like you're this awesome delegator where you can call out, you can see and call out what people need to go after and deal with things going on around us. And it's just an awesome picture of leadership.
So I'm gonna have one more go. I honor everyone who, I'm sure there's more, but I am gonna let you share, Becca. I want to encourage you to do this though. If you feel like you have something more for the family, approach them. Write it down, or just come up to Luke and Annie and say, "Hey, can I talk with you and Hudson and share what I saw as well?" So, not trying to quench what's happening. Just realize we gotta be mindful.
Hi, Hudson. So, do you know who Hudson Taylor was? You do. Okay, he was a missionary in China for like 51 years, and he helped like 18,000 people come to know Jesus. And I believe he was a trailblazer over there. And this morning when Zach told me that there was going to be a baptism, I kept seeing resurrection life, like somebody going down under the water and then coming up, like kind of like they didn't look like a human anymore. They were all light. And I just kept hearing resurrection life, resurrection life. And I want to pray that, whoa, that God just releases you to plow ground and to bring people to Jesus, and that resurrection life will come out of you. And your mama didn't name you Hudson for no reason. Okay? So we just pray that over him in Jesus' name.
Right on.
Yep. Do you know why you're getting baptized, buddy? Hey, look at me. Do you know why you're doing this? You do? Why? To get a new life and make a public display of your faith, the way that you've chosen, the choice you made to follow Jesus, right? This is a public testimony to everybody here.
That's right.
As a witness that you made this commitment to Jesus. And so it's brave. And Jesus said that whoever is not ashamed of me before man, I won't be ashamed of him before my heavenly Father, right? So this is a big deal to him. So this is part of the process of being born again. You already made that commitment in your heart months ago, right? You said you wanted to do that. That was your choice. And this is just the public follow-up, the public testimony and witness to the choice you made as a believer, okay?
I love you, buddy. Do you remember, you are the only one of my children so far that has had an encounter with Jesus. And you remember, you were sitting on your bed and Jesus walked into your room, and what did he say to you? Do you want to be my disciple? And what did you say? Yes. And what did he tell you? Obey my commands. This is one of his commands, buddy. And you're making the choice to obey him. And Daddy and I are so proud of you. I love you.
Okay. Hudson Matthew Levitt, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Love it, love it, love it. Love it, love it. Yes, yes, yes. All right. Kids, you can follow Jay out, meet him at the back door back there. You guys can say hello to someone around you while I get ready to preach. And, oh, Christian. Wow. Oh. All right, everybody stand up, say hello to someone around you, and I'll call you back together here in a second.